Real one. Can you tell me when and where you were born, please?
In Bourne.
When and where you were born?
Well, I was born at East Richard, 10th of November 1921.
And what did your father do for a living?
My father, he had a general stores, the village general stores. And he had a small holding, produced quite a lot of stuff which he sold himself in the village store, which was organic.
What was your house like that you lived in?
The house was a country cottage, semi-detached, two up, two down, with the family of a brother and a sister, which would be... the sister had a share with the parents, and I shared with my brother. That was the two upstairs.
And what was it like growing up there? What was it like growing up there?
It was everybody knew everything, or everybody knew everybody. And, well, you just lived a village life. One pub, one church, and that was it. At the time, there was only about 600 residents in the village, and you knew everybody.
And what about school? Where did you go to school?
Went to school in the village of Felbridge, which was a 10-minute walk from home. There was an infant's and the juniors in the same school. One room was infant, one room was juniors, with two teachers, and that was the school. Head teacher was in the schoolhouse, and that's what I can tell you on that one.
Did you enjoy school?
I did not. No. Well, I did in the first part. But when I moved from the juniors to the secondary school, I did not enjoy it at all.
Why was that?
It just didn't seem to fit. I would say you were with a lot of children who you didn't know at the time. And, well, it was just different from the other schools. I just couldn't get on with it. I failed every exam, and I got a job, which was the head teacher of the secondary school released me before my time, so I got the job. I'm taking a matter of months, but he still released me because I had a job to go to.
While you were at school, did you play any sport?
Not really, no. I used to talk about cricket and a bit of football, but nothing enthusiastic about it. It's only because I had to, but I done it.
And when did you leave school? You said you left before, so how old were you when you left school?
15. Yes, the age at the time was 16, but I was released 3 months early, actually.
And what job did you go to?
I went as a depot clerk for an oil company, Shell, actually, in East Richmond. My father heard this vacancy was coming up, and it came up earlier than expected. And that's why I got the release, by the interference of my father with the headmaster. And... and because of my academics was not too good. But I succeeded in the job, and I was quite happy there.
What did the job entail?
Distribution of the petroleum products in the 10-12 mile radius.
And how would they distribute the petrol?
Now, actually, I was just in the office issuing orders to the drivers.
And you say you were 15, so would that be 1936? 1937.
That's right, yes.
Yeah, and how long did you stay in that job?
I retired in 1977. not at East Bristol all the time, but I was a... I came out, during 30th September, 30-something. I came out 30th September, 70-something.
So that's 50 years.
That is the retirement present from my pals.
That's your clock.
That's a clock, yeah.
So, did you enjoy that job?
I did, very much so. The progress was slow, but I eventually reached obviously a provider on distribution.
And what were your wages like? What were your wages like when you first started?
When I first started, it was 14 shillings a week. I'm not going to tell you what I finished up with.
Was that good money in 1937?
It was reasonable. Yes, it wasn't good, but it was reasonable. But you had an increase every year. Minor increase every year until you were 21, and then 21, and then you got a very substantial.
And what did you spend your wages on? Was there anything that you liked to do?
No, well, in the village, I'm sure there was nothing really to do apart from go to the pub. Bit of courting, go to the pictures, and that was it in the village.
So you were there from 1937 until after the outbreak of war?
After the outbreak of war, I was there. I joined the services, called up for the services, September 41, I think it was 41 anyway.
So, while you'd been working there, had you anticipated in the late 1930s that there was going to be a war?
No. I didn't think there would be at all. I'd never experienced a war before. I would say I wasn't old enough for the First World War, and I just didn't anticipate that there would be a war, but unfortunately it happened.
And can you remember the declaration of war?
Yes. I remember that Sunday, the 3rd of September, only two world.
What were you doing?
I was on a paper round. My father, as I say, had this village stores, which was also a newsagent, and Sundays I used to help him on the deliveries, which was rather a long round. It used to take me about 4 hours, and I was in the middle of the round, and one woman came out and said, "War was declared." That was at 11 o'clock on the Sunday morning.
And at that time, did you think that would affect you?
No, I didn't. Well, I anticipated it would if it carried on a long time, but I was hoping it wouldn't.
And what about the reaction of the rest of your family? How did they feel about the declaration of war?
My father wasn't too happy about it. My brother, he wasn't at home. He was living in London at the time. And my sister, she was away as a nurse.
So was your father worried that, obviously, about the consequences of what might happen?
My father, I'm saying, he knew he wouldn't be caught up himself. He was sure, but all he's concerned with, if anything happened to any of us, my brother or myself or my sister, what he would do. That's all he's really concerned about.
And were there any changes to your job when the war was declared? Because obviously there would have been rationing brought in for petrol.
That's right, yes. Well, all individual companies came under one roof, firstly, instead of being a branded product, it all became one product named was Paul. Paul Petrol. And there was it was more than one depot in a certain town. That depot came under one management. The whole depot, rather, came under one management, and he controlled the whole area.
So you were at East Grinstead. Was that a depot for that area?
That's right. Yes. There was one or two other depots in the district. And the manager was responsible, and it was all controlled from the depot where I was working. So consequently, the owner was higher than what it would have been if it would be normal peacetime.
Did this mean more work for yourself?
Yes. Actually, when I was old enough, they asked for volunteer drivers to take emergency supplies. I volunteered, and I wasn't in the depot much more after that. I was nipping around the countryside doing deliveries or relief work to other depots.
You mentioned emergency supplies. Would the products be allocated to specific people? Would it, say, go to doctors or air raid precautions people, that type of thing?
No, actually, my main job in the emergency part of it was driving a tanker to New Haven Harbour and refueling MTBs.
Oh, so it was actually dealing with the military side as well.
Right, yes, yes. I managed to put up with that for 15 months. Then I was just called up and that was it.
How large were these tankers that you were driving? How large were the tankers, petrol tankers you were?
At the time, there was a maximum... a maximum of 2,500 gallons to any vehicle. That was the road restrictions for carrying petroleum products. But I never got around to driving a 2,500 wagon, but I had a 2,000.
Was it difficult to drive?
No. No, it was a rigid vehicle, so, it was... just like driving a car, really, more weight.
Because I was wondering, obviously, at that time, these days there's a number of motorways and fast A roads. Did it take a long time to get between East Grinstead and New Haven when you were refueling the MTBs?
No, it was, you take about an hour and a half. I would say the vehicles were covering for 20 miles an hour. And, Eastridge is New Haven, 31 mile, and about an hour and a half.
And where had you learnt to drive? Where had you learnt to drive?
I learnt to drive actually, my father taught me. I passed the test on my 17th birthday, which is the legal limit for taking the test. How I passed it, I don't know. I'll say to start with it, I know I went the wrong way around the roundabout. the examiner said, well, you just jump one of those things, you'll pass you.
So was there, you didn't need a further test to drive the heavier lorries?
No. Not at that time. Although the company did, you had to pass a company test.
And what was that then?
Just that you went out with one of their motor inspectors. You drove as far as the nearest coffee shop, stopped for a cup of tea, drove back again, you passed it.
So were there any other changes to your lifestyle, your own personal lifestyle, during that period while you were, you were obviously working long hours?
The only thing was that it was my first experience of living away from home. At times it would take a week to get rid of a load, and you'd be stuck in the harbour for a week. If you're away on relief work, you didn't know how long it was going to be. There was one relief work I went to, Hastings, when they met at the station, said, oh, sorry, he said, I can't get any lodging for you apart from the local pub. I said, well, don't worry about that, I'm quite happy. But when we arrived at the pub, the first person I greeted us was the landlord, who I happen to know, who's the landlord of the local at Fellbridge, who had moved, you know, I didn't know where he went to. And I had quite a good week there with him.
So what type of places did you go to on the relief work? You mentioned Hastings, were there other places that you went to?
I went to Eastbourne, Port Slade, Tunbridge Wells, Red Hill.
So a lot of these places were on the coast. Did you notice any of the coastal fortifications that had gone up in that period?
Yes. There were quite a few. Especially in the Hastings area. Which were certain places were restricted.
Had any of the population been moved out of the area?
No. Not to my knowledge.
And you were on this you were on this period from the outbreak of war through to being called up in 1941 you were working with. You were working from 1939 to 1941 doing this relief work and transporting.
That's right, yes.
From the depot. You were in the Kent area then during the Battle of Britain. Do you remember anything of the Battle of Britain at that period in 1940?
No, I can't recall anything.
Okay. So, what happened about your call up? Can you tell me how you first heard that you were going to be called up for the army? You were going to be called up for the army?
Yes.
Can you tell me about how you first heard about that?
I first heard of the call up when I received a nice official looking letter from somebody asking me to report for medical. I think I had to go to Brighton for that. Which they told me I passed. Go home, we'll call you and when we want you. Which they did. So I got this letter telling me to report to Chichester on, I think it was 18th of September or 16th, mid September anyway, 41. And I reported there. Together with quite a few other people, walked to the gate, and there was a very nice gentleman there, three stripes on his arm. I hadn't been in there 5 minutes, four of them now full of beans coming. You are now in the army. And that was my first reaction.
So how did you...
I had seen inside the inside life of the army with a barracks, the Irish Guards barracks at Felbridge. I used to get in there selling newspapers and things, so I had been in there quite a bit, and I was allowed free access to the place.
So what was your opinion of army life before you joined?
Before I joined, it seemed quite happy life. Until I joined, and then things changed.
So you said you'd had a medical before you were called up.
Yes.
Did they grade you at that medical?
Yes. A1.
Did you have any choice of which unit you might be going into?
No choice at all.
And this call-up, which unit was that to? Was it to a specific unit?
It was an infantry call-up. As I understood it, you had infantry, or you had a choice. Infantry or infantry.
So you got the infantry.
That's it, yes.
And you said this reception, you'd met the sergeant on arrival. What happened next when you just arrived? What was the first thing that happened in the barracks?
You walked into at the time I didn't know what it was, just a room, but turned out to be the guard room. Reported in. You were kept hanging about outside until enough people turned up. You were then formed up and marched away to your billet. And from there, well, you were in the army and you just had to obey everything that was given you.
Were you issued with a uniform that first day?
Yes. If it fitted, you were lucky. If it didn't, make it fit yourself.
How did you do that?
Well, mine was reasonable, so I didn't have any adjustments to make.
And were you issued with boots? With boots?
Boots, yes. Very heavy boots. I've never worn boots in my life before, with all shoes. But after a few blisters, they were quite reasonable.
And were you given a first meal on arrival?
The first meal was, I think we eventually got it in the evening. We had to report by 10 o'clock, I think it was, 10, 11 o'clock. And you got the first meal in the evening. And, that was that. You just slapped it into your dish, or plate, I think we had at the time. That's in place. And, you ate it if you were hungry. If you didn't fancy it, well, you went hungry.
Did you eat yours?
Yeah, I did, yes. With food, I've never had a problem. I've always enjoyed everything. It doesn't matter what they give me, I always like it. Apart from garlic.
And... What was your sleeping arrangements like?
The sleeping arrangements was I think they were bunks. I'm not too sure on that, but at the barracks, I think they were bunks, or maybe beds. I can't remember. But as we further progressed. You finish up on boards with a tally house. That was, I think, just to hide you up a bit.
So when you joined the army, they were very gentle. They kind of led you into having bunks and nice sleeping arrangements.
Yes.
And what were the conditions like in the barracks? Was it a modern barracks? Or?
Fairly modern, yes. reasonably modern with a keep where you don't segregate after your, I think it was after about 5 weeks, you were both segregated. And the playground was quite good. Much to my surprise.
Why was that?
I've always imagined a playground with holes in it and, you know, being uneven, you trip over everything. And but this was quite a nice flat ground and very spacious.
So did you learn drill on there? Did you learn to drill on the prairie ground?
On the prairie ground, yes.
How did you take to drill?
Well, I thought I was doing quite well, but unfortunately, the instructors didn't seem to think so. But okay, that was just a different opinion.
So, how did the other recruits take to it? How did the other recruits take to drill?
How did
the other recruits take to their drilling?
Well, I think in general, everybody seemed reasonably happy anyway. I'll tell you, I was quite happy with it. But somehow the left turn and the right turn got mixed up and out of step, things like that. But you know, within reason, I think it was, well, fair.
Who are your instructors?
The instructors, there's a sergeant and a couple of corporals. I can't remember the names or anything about them, but the sergeant major wasn't a very, very nice gentleman. The officers I can't remember anything about at all, didn't have much contact with them.
Was the sergeant major and the sergeants, were they regulars?
They were regulars. Well, I think they must be regulars. They were permanently based at the barracks.
And what other training did you do in that very early basic training stage? You would do some drilling.
Drilling, rifle shooting, and ranges. Come to working for the ranges, busy actually.
And had you fired a weapon before joining the army at all? Had you fired a weapon at all before joining the army?
Nothing at all, no. Nothing, I can't even remember firing a fairground rifle.
So, how did you take to shooting?
I was quite happy with that, but. Fair, fairly accurate. I won't say I was exceptional, but I was better than average.
On the ranges, did you fire at targets?
Fire at targets, yes, at different distances.
And were you taught a method of firing the rifle? Were you taught a method for firing the rifle?
Yeah, it was it was a set way to handle it. Safety precautions, and well, firing in anger. Put it that way, I would say there seemed to be two ways. There was a peaceful. Peaceful firing and a wartime firing.